Sorry, I'm a little later than normal. Had a full schedule this morning and had a lot of players step up. So, as I said yesterday, very disappointing end, obviously, to the season. Certainly didn't play well enough, coach well enough, do anything well enough yesterday to get the result that we were looking for and hopefully qualify for the playoffs. Met with our team this morning, appreciate all the hard work, all the things that they've done all year long to try to, adopt a new philosophy. We understand that that's not always easy, but they did everything that we asked them to do for the most part and tried to play the way that we wanted to play, and I commended them for all the work and all the preparation and all the things that they did to try to get us to where we wanted to go. Hey, how we doing? Perfect timing. And now we'll enter into a long period of evaluation. Everything will be evaluated. Our system, our roster, the job we did as coaches, the players, everything that we can evaluate, what we did in the off season, how we handled in season, bye weeks, training room, et cetera, will be evaluated, and then there will be decisions made after a period here of 3 or 4 weeks going forward. But certainly, it's an emotional time right now. I think all of us feel that way, physically, mentally drained, and I don't think it's ever good to really make big picture decisions at a time like this. So that's what we're going to enter into here in the next few days, starting in the next few days, and that will continue on for the next 3 or 4 weeks through January. Questions?
Josh, obviously there's things that you'll evaluate and you'll change some things, but overall, were you pleased with the philosophy you had going forward for your first year? And do you feel like, were you satisfied with the decisions you made?
Yeah, I said, a year ago, we want to try to build a tough, smart football team that can play well under pressure. Worked long and hard on situations and trying to be the better team in situational football, and won't stop doing that. Won't stop trying to be the toughest, smartest team on the field always. And want to be accountable. Want to hold our team to a level of play that we think that will help us achieve the things we want to achieve. And I think that same thing is true for the rest of the organization, as coaches and personnel department, whatever it may be. We're all accountable to do our jobs at a high level, and we need to obviously continue to do that and to try to improve, because certainly 8-8's not acceptable for us, and we need to improve upon that record. Say it again.
Ideally, would you like to have more of a downfield passing attack than you had this year?
We'll look at everything, and if you can make a bunch of big plays, certainly that helps. It doesn't hurt you. And there's a lot of things that go into that. And if we feel like we've got the opportunities to do that, then certainly we'd love to take advantage of them. If it's something that we feel like is not really the best thing to do, then we won't. But I certainly want to make as many big plays as you can every year. Certainly not a goal of ours to try to limit those. So if we can do that better next year, then that's what we'd strive to do.
Brandon and Tony both said that they hadn't spoken to you today. Where does your relationship stand with those guys? Do you plan on reaching out to them?
I think a lot of things are probably better taken care of after, a little bit of a period of time passes. I did meet with a number of players today, we're going to evaluate the whole situation, and we'll speak and talk about that whole thing going forward. This week I don't think was an indication of how the entire season went for either player in terms of their relationship with me or anything else. I think that we've got to let some time pass and really evaluate where we're going. And I know that, right now probably wouldn't be the best time to sit down and try to iron everything out. What happened happened, and we made the decisions, and we move forward. And You know, once we kind of evaluate where we want to go, we'll address those issues, and we'll address those two players along with a number of other things as we go forward too.
Josh, you had relatively public spats with three different players in your first year here. Do you have any regrets about the way you handled those situations?
Well, I mean, I think that you got to do what you think is in the best interest of your team. Certainly, I know it's your job to report on those things, and you know, I know that we tried to be as informative sometimes as we could, and sometimes you'd like to keep those things private. You know, and anytime you're having some issues, whether they be internal or they make it out into the external world, it's not necessarily an easy thing to deal with, because then there's other forces in play. So I don't regret, you know, the decisions that we made as an organization or anything that we did. Sometimes you'd like to keep those things in-house better, and we'll try to do that going forward.
Do you think both sides need to reevaluate the way those situations are handled?
When you say both sides, what do you mean?
Player, coach.
Well, I mean, I think it's if there's something to be gained by you know, putting things out there publicly that may be best suited, you know, to be taken care of behind closed doors, I don't know who gains from that. You know, if we can do things privately and resolve them and go forward for the betterment of the team and the organization, I think that's what you're looking for in every situation. There's a lot of issues that come up during the course of the football season. Whether they be with players, coaches, system, scheme, you know, there's a lot of decisions that are made that, you know, that that don't come out there and aren't talked about significantly. So, you know, for the most part, I think that would be the case. And if you could handle them that way going forward, I think it'd be better for everybody. But certainly things are not naive. There's going to be things that make their way to the media and to the public that maybe we would wish were private. But, you know, handle them the best you can once that happens.
Josh, how would you describe your first year as a head coach?
You know, it's a challenging job. It certainly is. I didn't think anybody would expect it to be any different. It's very rewarding at the same time. I enjoy doing what we do here, enjoy the players that we have on this team and what they tried to do to help us accomplish what we wanted to do. I think you always want to try to take some time to self-reflect now about what you did in your job and your performance. Certainly there are things that you go back on at the end of the season each year that you can change and make corrections to and make changes to improve yourself. And hopefully we'll all do that now and try to be better in our roles next year. You know, I want to do everything I can to help our team win, and I want to do everything, you know, within my power to try to get that to be the case with every player, every coach in this organization. And, you know, that's the challenge going forward. And now we enter into another phase. You know, it'll be our first off season where the system has actually been implemented, and we're looking forward to going through and making the tweaks and corrections that we need to make with that, and you know, and identifying the next challenges ahead for our roster and all the decisions we need to make between now and next season.
You just used the words tweaks and corrections. When you look at the beginning of the season, obviously with the 6-0 start, everything looked rosy, but you know, the reality is over the last 10 weeks, I think there's only two other teams that had a worse record. So is this a rebuilding project, do you think, now, or do you still think there's just tweaking now that needs to be done, now that you've got a feel for, you know, where things are?
I don't think that you ever rebuild, really. If you are, I wouldn't use that word at all. This is a team that was close to doing something that we all wanted to get done, which was qualify for the playoffs, and we didn't do enough late in the year, obviously, to get that done. And I think that's what this next period is going to be for: to evaluate ourselves, to evaluate what we did down the stretch, to evaluate our team in general. And try to figure out what we can do better, how we can improve, and in any way that may be the case. You know, there's always a lot of things that you can change. It's just a matter of how many of those you actually want to go ahead and implement. So I think if we can identify the things that we feel like we struggled with the most coming down the stretch here, and make the proper changes to it. And again, there were things we didn't do very well at the beginning of the season also. So you know, when you're winning, you have to be critical, and when you're losing, you have to be the same. So we definitely have to make some adjustments and corrections to some of the things we're doing. And that's what the off season will be for.
Josh, I think we all understand you want to win, and you want to win now, and you don't like the word rebuilding nobody does. But some of these tweaks, corrections, player moves, what have you,
mm-hmm.
are you willing to take a step back before you take two steps forward on some of these player moves?
I don't want to. No, I don't want to do that. I think there's a lot of players on this team that certainly are capable of playing at a very high level. I think our team played at a high level during the course of different periods of time during the year. And I don't think that any player wants to hear that. I don't think our owner wants to hear that. I don't think I want to do that. I don't think anybody does. If you make moves and changes to your roster or to your system, and sure, things may take time to get to the point where you say, okay, now we're back to where we were. But that's what you work hard for the next 7 months. Nobody's going to say it's going to be easy. It never is. But if you stand there and do nothing and just hope that it's going to change on its own, it usually doesn't. So, we'll be as proactive as we can be in trying to make those adjustments and changes, whether it be a system thing, the way we did something this year, a philosophical thing, or maybe even, like you said, a roster move. So, I don't think anybody wants to rebuild. I know, Brian Dawkins, Champ Bailey, Daniel Graham, DJ, they don't want to rebuild. They want to keep playing. And I think when you get close and you feel like you have a chance to qualify, you don't ever want to come back the next season and say, okay, well, our goal is, 7-9. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, we want to try to improve on this, not go backwards. And sometimes improvement means you got to change some things and then work real hard to get it back to where you want it to be and make it the right decision. The coaching staff, we'll evaluate everything, and I don't know what other things are going to transpire here in the next so many days. I know this is always a very active time for other staffs and people that are trying to assemble staffs, and we'll evaluate each one of those things on a case-by-case basis and try to do what we feel is in the best interest of the Broncos, but certainly evaluate each one of those things. And I think we all have to evaluate what we did and how we did it, and it was our first year working together. I think I was pleased with what we were trying to do and able to accomplish, but I don't think you ever want to just go into the next season and not have taken a look at what you did. So that'll be an evaluation that we'll go through here in the next few weeks too, and make sure that we got everything in place that we want to go in place going forward. That's like I said, it'd be a case by case thing. I don't want to say that I would or wouldn't. You try to evaluate each one of them on a individual basis and make the right decision for the organization, and then also consider it for the person that's being requested. I know that's happened before. Where I've been at, and it's not always an easy thing, but you try to do what's in the best interest of your team.
How did your first draft class meet your expectations, and is your approach to the draft something that you reevaluate as well?
Yeah, I think this year's draft should be totally different for us. We changed our system, in the middle of the entire process last year. We didn't get an opportunity to have a full season to use the system, and then full off season using the same grading scale and evaluation process. And certainly we changed some of the things we were looking for in individual players, if it was a bigger player here or a faster player there, whatever it may be. So our criteria is all in place. Our scouts now all know the whole thing. Our personnel department's very well versed on that now. And we'll have an entire off season where we're not trying to just fill staff positions and do so many things to the roster, hopefully, that we did last year. So we should have an opportunity to really, have a solid 4 months here getting ready for the draft and nail it down. I think that the draft class that we had this year, certainly, I would say each one of them contributed in their own way, some more than others. we got a lot of I'd say we got a lot of production out of some of our later round players. You know, David Bruton played, you know, in almost every game, and McBath in the second round did a lot to help us there in terms of his team's play. Played some on defense also, and Ayers played in basically every game except one. Noshon obviously played a big role, and there's always things that you're going to be happy with, and there's always things that with rookies from their first year to the second year, you're hoping for a dramatic you know, change in terms of their improvement. So they now all know what the National Football League's about. I met with a number of them today individually, and you know, they're no longer rookies, and we need to expect, you know, them to do some different things than maybe we expected of them this year, and they need to expect that of themselves.
Alfonso Smith is a guy that he said he was pretty overwhelmed this year. He didn't realize how big a difference it was with the NFL. Is he a guy that you see enough in him that you think he can make that leap? Next year.
Yeah, we you know, we feel good about Alfonso. I really liked a lot of the things that he did, and I think that's you know, it takes a big person to say what Alfonso said, and I met with Alfonso today, and he certainly isn't pleased with, you know, his overall production this year, and wants to do a better job of making sure that he can contribute in many more ways than he did this year. So you know, I like his attitude and his approach, and I think this offseason is going to be critical for him, just like it is for most rookies coming into their second year. But now he does understand the National Football League and what it takes to be successful and contribute. So hopefully he can use that information and work hard this offseason at the things that he needs to work on to try to make an improvement in his game so that he can help us, you know, significantly next year.
Kyle today said it before that he wants to be back, and he thinks that you guys want him back. So business is business, and that takes some time to work through. What is your stance on Kyle?
Again, we're going to evaluate the whole thing. I don't want to get ahead of that, you know, but really, you know, Kyle Orton is a guy that we say we want smart players. That's what he is. He's tough. He's a teammate. He's a great teammate. The players voted him as a captain. Got a lot of respect for him. I do. I know the players do. And he did a lot of good things, and he improved, you know. And it was his first year in the system. His system is dramatically different than the one he's played in before. So, you know, I would look for, you know, him to continue to improve in our system. And, again, I'm not going to sit here and make declarations about the future in terms of the roster, contracts, or all that. But, you know, again, pleased with a lot of what Kyle did and saw improvement in what he did. And, you know, was happy to have the opportunity to work with him this year. And we'll look forward to the future.
You guys do have a lot of other, not just Kyle, a lot of free agents. How complicated is this offseason going to be for you guys, given all the rumor uncertainty and the number of guys that you have?
I don't want to use the word complicated. We're going to do what we feel like we can do within, you know, whatever the rules end up being, and whatever agreement we have. So we'll have to wait and see. It's certainly a thing that we're going to have to be patient with. You know, I think the first thing we're going to do, like we said, is evaluate what we need to do. And then go from there. But certainly can't make any knee-jerk reactions to anything right now. I've got a lot of time between now and then. And once we have gone through our process, you know, hopefully we'll have a good understanding of the landscape of what we're going to deal with, and then, you know, make the decisions that we feel like are in the best interest of the Broncos.
Josh, are you going to take any time off? I mean, your start of your offseason the last few years has been dramatically different than what it's going to be right now. So.
Yeah, well, the staff will be off here, you know, for a period of time, probably 10 days to 2 weeks here. You know, I might not be gone that much, but, you know, I'd like to at least relax for a minute and reflect on this year. And there's a lot of things that, you know, have gone on, and a lot of things that, you know, I haven't really had an opportunity to sit back and look at and evaluate from my perspective. I think that's really something that after you go through a season, like you know, you're mentally, physically drained. You spend a lot of time away from your family, and it's always good to get an opportunity to reconnect with that part of your life. a little bit and then come back refreshed.
How would you grade this team? Would you say you've been around some great teams, you've been around some not so great teams? What kind of adjectives would you use to describe this team, this Denver Broncos club this year?
You know, this is a team that I thoroughly enjoyed coaching and was very competitive in damn near every game we played. And, you know, I think they're all disappointed in how the season ended, and I wouldn't label them one way or the other. Like I said, we had an opportunity to go in, you know, a couple different directions, and had we won a few of the closer games, you know, we wouldn't even be having this press conference today, you know. And if and since we didn't, you know, we ended up what we were, 8-8. And I think this league is pretty harsh. And you know, if you don't deserve to win and you don't deserve to be in the playoffs, then you're not in. And that's the facts and that's the truth. And I don't think anybody would disagree with what we ended up you know, doing with our season and our opportunities.
With the Brandon situation, contracts and all that aside, given what's happened this last year and especially the last couple weeks, do you think you could coexist with Brandon Marshall next year? Is that even an option if he comes back?
Of course. I mean, we did that all year, and I don't think that coexisting is a good word to use. I think we worked very well together most of the season, and he had a very productive year, a Pro Bowl year, and, you know, that's, like I said, that's to label or stereotype this whole thing based on one decision that was made, I don't think that's really fair. You know, he's a very, very talented player, a young player that's got a bright future, and, you know, we're going to step back and evaluate everything and try to do what's best for everybody involved. So there's no question that he could fit.
Well, sure. were the problems with Brandon and Tony then that just came up, or was it something that accumulated over time?
Like I said the other day, we wanted our team to be accountable to one another, and there's just certain things that you know, that did happen in the last week or two here that certainly didn't necessarily warrant that. You know, feeling about certain things. And so we made the decision. I made the decision to do that. And, you know, we moved forward from it. And I don't think it impacted the game yesterday. I think our team played hard. I think our offense was productive in those areas. And, you know, but it's, you know, accountability isn't just a, you know, today, tomorrow. It's all the time. And if you're not going to be, then I think that you have to hold your team accountable, yourself accountable, and you got to be accountable to one another. And if you are, then you have a chance to do some special things. And if you're not, you know, that's where that can come back and
bite
you.
Was it a divided locker room?
No.
At the end?
No.
Well, I was expecting a no-Sean coming in as, you know, the 12th pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk about what maybe you see the improvements he needs to make? I know that it's intertwined with the play line, and we mm-hmm. talked about that ad nauseum, but
yep.
You know, a lot of expectations on him. Did he meet your expectations as a first-round pick?
No, Sean has a – I say this. He's he works extremely hard. He's one of the most mature rookies I've ever been around. Loves the game and works very hard at it. I think he fits in perfectly with what we want to do here. He's tough. And, you know, certainly I think every player has room to improve in certain aspects of their games. No-Sean's no different. He would be the first one to say that. I think any time you're a rookie playing running back in the National Football League, you have, you know, pass protection is definitely a different thing in the National Football League for a running back than it would be in college. Certainly the fronts you see, the blitzes you see, the things you're asked to do within the scheme are different. We probably run a lot more different styles of runs, and we ask him to read different things on those. And sometimes he was very good, and other times that he could do a better job of that. But he wants to get better. He wants to make himself as good as he can be, and I think that's where it starts. If it if the player wants to do it, then, you know, you've got a real good chance. And I know he wants to. He's got a great attitude and approach, and we'll look for him to take significant improvement from this year to next year.
Coach, you're very smart. You're very tough. You talked in generalities last night, again today. Specifically, what went wrong?
This whole year, you're saying? I would say that one of the general things that I would say that I didn't really like, and I'm being specific here, is that, you know, before this year, I've never been on a team that lost more than one in a row. And it was frustrating that we didn't respond better to adversity when we lost our first game. I don't attribute that to the bye week. I'll never blame that on the bye week. Everybody has a bye week, including the Ravens. We didn't play very well in that game, and then we didn't respond to the fact that we lost. And I think the response, there's a lot of things that happen after you lose a game in the National Football League. There's a swirl of like, oh, God, what's wrong? What happened? Why did so much change? And sometimes it's they played better than we did, and or they coached better than we did. And, you know, there's a lot of little things that go into it. We didn't handle that very well, and it happened to us twice. You know, we lost four games in a row in the middle of the season. We kind of got out of that on Thanksgiving night, and won a couple, and then we let it happen to us again, where we didn't respond and handle the adversity of a loss better than what we did. And I think that there's going to be a lot of effort, at least on my part and our staff, to try to evaluate why that happened. And you know, you can't go through a season in the National Football League and expect not to lose at some point. I think most people would agree with that and admit that. And when you do happen to lose a game, you've got to be able to handle that, you know, as a staff, as a coach, as players, as a locker room, and be able to come back and play better and get yourself out of that hole. And we didn't do a very good job of that. And I'll be the first one to take responsibility for it. And we've got to try to find a better way to handle that going forward.
What went wrong with the defense from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, playing so well and then playing so poorly?
Well, I don't, you know, there's a lot of little things. I mean, you can't pinpoint one thing or one player. And I mean, we certainly gave up more big plays as the year went on. There was a point in time, and we gave up too many big pass plays against Philadelphia, and you can go on and on about different games. It wasn't one thing, and I think that defense is definitely something that you need the team to play together. A lot of things affect success on defense. You know, I think Elvis would be the first one to say he got 17 sacks, and we covered pretty well on some of those plays, and he got to the quarterback. You know, or the coverage would say, you know, thank Elvis for getting to the quarterback, because you know that guy was going to get open on me just a second ago. But defense, when we played very well this year, we played together. We did our job. We kind of fit into what we asked each player to do, and we didn't really stray from that. Defense is one of those things where when something goes wrong, everybody can't try to fix the problem on their own. You know, you've got to continue to do what you're supposed to do, and then maybe the guy that made a mistake the play before is going to do his job, you know, the rest of the night very well. So you can't sit there and jump outside your gap or run around some block or try to cover somebody else's man, because then it's going to open up another can of worms. And in a few of the games this season where we really allowed the most big plays, that's kind of what happened. You know, we strayed from assignment here or there or whatever, and ended up, you know, giving up too many big runs, too many big passes, and didn't do some of the things that we definitely did early in the season. You know, but there's a lot of things that go into playing good defense. We weren't playing good defense at the beginning of the season for one reason. There's a lot of reasons. And I think that when you talk about a change, that does happen during the course of the year. Most teams don't stay the same. You hope you continue to get better and improve. And we gave up way too many big plays as the year went on.
You think maybe you wore down the secondary?
I don't know if we wore down in the secondary. I think every team wears down. You know, it's a long year. But I'm not going to say that, we had 30-year-olds in the secondary and that's why all of a sudden we gave up a few big pass plays. I still think we gave up very few if you look at it, you know, compared to the rest of this, the rest of the league, you know. And that's something that we stress and we wanted to do. We didn't always do it perfectly, but we knew what we were trying to get done, and those guys worked hard to try to do it most of the time.
You talked about the line of scrimmage last week that you lost. Yeah. That seemed to be like the biggest difference between 6-0 and what happened at the end. Is the line of scrimmage where, you know, like Charles yesterday, it looked like you only had five guys in the box at times when he was running through there. Is that what you have to address maybe number one during the season rebuild your team for 2010?
Well, I think that if you struggle to run the football and stop the run, that's a double whammy. And we ran into that on a few occasions here in the last half of the season. There's no question about it. And that makes everything harder. If you have to pass the ball, you know, 56 times, now your protection, you know, is going to be significantly more challenged when the defense knows you got to throw it to gain yards, if that's what happens. You know, you try to start moving people down in the box on defense, and now all of a sudden everybody's one-on-one in the secondary, or you start blitzing to try to stop the run, which is never a good formula, because if you do that, certainly when you blitz and play run defense, it's totally different than when you stand there and, you know, and play your assignment and play your gap and all the rest of it, because you got, you know, all hell breaking loose at the line of scrimmage, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's terrible. So that's never a good formula. But I think anytime, and that'll be a big part of our evaluation about this season is, you know, how did we start? How did we finish? You know, what changed? What things within our scheme weren't as good at the end of the year as they were at the beginning? You know, if it was you know, our packages, our nickel, or dime, whatever it may be, our players, we'll look at everything and what we were trying to do with them can certainly affect that. But you know, the line of scrimmage is where a lot of games are won and lost. There's no question. And, you know, when we lost the line of scrimmage this year on both sides, it usually wasn't a good formula for us.
Josh, I mean, you could only turn over the roster as much as you could in a short period of time last offseason. But you look and you talk about the trenches. The offensive line here has had a certain philosophy for a long time and has drafted a certain type of player.
Yeah.
I mean, did you get caught between kind of the personnel and the philosophy that was here previously and what you wanted to implement at all? Or?
I think, I mean, there's no question that, you know, what I'm used to doing, we didn't necessarily have exactly the same philosophy. There's no doubt about that. But we tried not to put a square peg in a round hole either. We did use plenty of the zone schemes that they had used here previously, and used it quite successfully on a number of occasions this year. You know, and pass protection it's pass protection. You know, I mean, I think everybody has about the same protections in this league, and you use them, and you got to block people, and it is what it is. But I think there's no question that there's a little bit of a difference in terms of what I was coming from. But again, that's, you got to have either the ability to change something to fit a scheme, or you change what you're doing to fit what you have. And that's kind of what we tried to do, you know. And we never said it was going to be one way or the other. We tried to marry, you know, some things together. And look, every offense is a hybrid of a lot of things. I don't think that any offense is just one thing or another. And that's what we were trying to do here. And like I said, we had some really good days doing it, and some not so good days.
Josh, were you happy with your offensive coordinator this year? And were you comfortable serving both roles, head coach and offensive?
Yeah, I was. I was comfortable doing that. I always, I mean, I can do better. I mean, if I'm sitting here saying I did a great job here or a great job there, I'm lying, because I think there's no perfect game. You can always change some things about what you did. And that's what I said. You know, the first thing, you look at how you tried to implement things, what you tried to do offensively, defensively in the kicking game, and see if you could change something and make it better. You know, there's always situations that come up every game where you've got to make a decision and a call, and you make it, and you go with what you feel is the best thing to do at that point in time. I think that's what every play caller does. Certainly nobody's perfect, and I'm not out of the equation either.
Josh, there was a lot of players that were holdovers from Shanahan's era that you inherited on offense that had reduced roles or diminished production this year. Was that by design, by circumstance? different philosophy, different system? What were the reasons for
that? I don't think it certainly wasn't by design. I think Brandon was a perfect example of that. Anytime you change systems, and in particular, I think you're referring, most of the production I think we're referring to is the passing game. I understand that there's some other things too, but when you change systems, that's always, and I think every player would admit this, it's different. I mean, it really is. And we ask some of our players to maybe do different things than they did before. Maybe it's harder, maybe it's easier. Some of them are. Some may be embrace it, and some may not. But I think there's each system brings with it different challenges for players. I think that the first year of a new system is not totally different than a rookie having to learn a new offense himself, because that's what a lot of these guys had to do. Same thing on defense. And some guys may end up having more production because of it. I mean, Elvis is a good example of a guy who flourished defensively, and Brandon, had a very similar year to what he had before. And so I think it's a case-by-case basis. I think if you try to say that everybody that was here didn't have the same role, I think that's very broad. I think that there's some guys we asked to do some different things, and it's a matter of everything working together. And again, we weren't working with the same philosophy as I know that they had worked with previously. So, and that's just all part of it.
Can that change in year two?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I know that, I'm frustrated and disappointed that, we couldn't do more, in terms of using Eddie Royal, and I've been asked that question a bunch, and I know Eddie's frustrated with it too. So I'm not happy with that, and I don't want that to be the case. That's not stereotypical of Eddie this year, and we're going to work hard to try to fix that and get that to change dramatically going into next season.
Over a period of years, Denver's had, if you go back 25 years, best home record in football. You couldn't protect your home this year. You played very lousy in some home games.
Yep.
So where did that go bad, and how do you examine and evaluate that? If you had taken care of home,
I think the first thing, we need to do is really identify and evaluate the division opponents that we play, because you know those three home games every year, and we beat all three on the road, and we lost all three of them at home. And I think that in general, whether you play them on the road first or at home first, it doesn't make any difference. You know you're going to have six games against those three teams. So, if we can do a better job of being able to handle those games twice, we handled them all the first time, and then we total dramatic change in fortune each one of the second games that we played against those teams. And again, like you said, if you change the outcome of those two or three games at home, then you dramatically change our season. So if we can have a great idea, I think that's where every offseason starts, is with the division, because you're going to have six games. They're usually going to be six tough games. And if you can do a great job of identifying why you didn't have success the second time around, because the second game in a division rivalry is always different every year. And we have to do a good job of being able to make the changes we need to make or not change. Sometimes you change too much from one game to the next if you won. Or it depends on the outcome of the first game. But I think the division opponents are huge. I think that, this home stadium is certainly an advantage for us. We didn't necessarily protect it very well late in the year, and we got to do a better job of that. There's no question, and we should.
What's your message to the fans about what's going to happen next year? What's your message to them? A lot of people want to know, what can we expect out of this team going forward?
Well, we don't like the finish of this season here in this organization, the building and the locker room. We're going to do everything we can between now and the beginning of next year to change what we think we need to change to improve the team in every area. We made a lot of different changes this year, and we'll evaluate those. And the result of this season is not acceptable to us. I know they don't want it to be the way that we ended our season. And it's a great place to play, great fans. And, we've got to do a better job of being able to finish the season. And that's something that we're going to spend a lot of time on a lot of thought on and try to figure out exactly what we need to do to change the outcome. Because, you know, I wasn't here in previous years, but we were 8-4. And, you know, when you're 8-4 or 6-0, you should be able to finish, you know, and have an opportunity to play longer. And we didn't do that. So we've got to do some things differently. We can't stand here and stay the same and just expect the result to change on its own, because there's a pattern developed here and we got to change it.
Josh, to piggyback off Arnie's question a little bit, you said, you know, Eddie is frustrated. You've heard that question a lot.
Yeah.
Another question, which I know you've gotten a lot of times, but I'm going to ask. Peyton Hillis. There's from the outside, it seems, and we hear it a lot, and a lot of the media brethren here heard it a lot, that there's almost seemed to be a stubborn insistence to not use him in short yards, even during the times when this team struggled in short yardage. Can you address that?
You didn't ask me that after Philly.
I didn't ask you that after Philly.
I know.
We've asked you that many times.
Yeah, I know. Until we did it. No. And then we didn't get the question. In short yardage. We didn't get it.
But as a body of work, it seems just like Eddie was a body of work for the season.
I know. I know. You know, look, when you assemble a team, I think you put together the roster and you assume that there's going to be some things that are going to take place during the course of the season where you're going to need to use a lot of people at a lot of spots. And I don't think anybody here last year would have said, you know, boy, it'd be okay to have a couple running backs. Not after what happened here last year. I went through 6, you know, in New England. They went through 7 here in Denver. And you sit there and you say, my God, if we had 9 backs on the roster, they probably would be enough, but you don't know. So, you know, we kept the players we felt best about. He certainly was one of them. And again, it's hard to give everybody a bunch of carries in a game. As a running back, you know, you feel like you try to get somebody going into a little bit of a rhythm. And we did quite a few times this year. And, you know, there were other times we didn't, but the answer isn't necessarily always just yank the back out of the game and throw the next back in, because that would be shallow on our part in terms of identifying what the problem is. Certainly the backs can do better. Everybody can. But I don't think that the answer is just to jerk him out of the game and say, well, you know, it's all his fault, because that would be really shallow for me to do that, and our team knows better. Our team knows that our success is as a group, and our failures are usually as a group also. So he's the same guy that I described earlier. He's got a lot of different talents and abilities, and we're glad he's on our team, and we'll look forward to moving forward and seeing how his role can maybe be different and more productive next year.
If I can just understand that previous exchange, is it your view that a single carry in Philadelphia from the fullback position pretty much answered the question about
no.
Peyton Hillis should play?
No, I was just playing with him.
Is Ron Harris going to be ready for full activity going forward?
It'll be an extensive rehab. I don't have a date. I wouldn't predict that either. I wouldn't put that on him. You know, hopefully, yeah, I know Ryan, he'll do everything he can do to be out there as soon as possible, but there's no certainly no date where we can say, oh, he'll be ready to go by April or whatever, you know, anything like that. So I'm not going to put that on him.
Josh,
Same thing.
So
same thing.
You basically have 2
lines
and you're not sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Russ is going to have his procedure here soon, and you know, and then, you know, it's a normal rehab. And so it'll take, you know, months. And Ryan's is the same thing. I wouldn't put a date on him. I don't think that's really fair to do to him.
As you conduct business going forward here in the next couple of months, are you going to go forward with the idea there won't be a new CBA?
Both.
You'll do both?
I mean, we got to. I mean, you don't know, so you got to do both. Say it again.
Year, you were like the fastest team in the free agency last year. Can you move that fast this year if you want?
It'll all depend. I mean, it'll depend on what's there. It'll depend on, you know, like Mike's question. I mean, I don't know exactly where we're going with this, you know, so we're like everybody else. We're going to try to do what we feel is best at that time, but I can't make an, you know, assumption on that right now.
You've never been involved with the team.
Having a one-on-one meeting with Brandon Marshall.
Say it one more time.
How long do you want to wait before trying to have a one-on-one meeting with Brandon Marshall?
We're going to go through our evaluation. I don't think it's necessarily something that needs to take place in the next day. So I don't have a date for that.
2 weeks, a month.
Whatever it's right. Yeah, I'll call you and let you know.
No problem.
Josh, tweeted.
Off the free agency issue, all season when we've asked the players like Elvis, what's the status? I'd like to come back. We haven't talked. That's the team has said we want to talk at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Is that something, regardless of CBA or non-CBA, that you guys can actually initiate earlier to talk to them, to talk contract, or because of the uncertainty of what you're operating under, you can't even talk to your own players early on?
Look, we like all the guys we have here. There's no question about it. But we can't necessarily do everything right now, and uncertainty is a good word. That's a good word.
You've never been involved with a team, you told me, and researching it, you've never been involved with a team that wasn't a winning team.
Yep.
Is this a failure for you personally?
It doesn't feel very good. I want to do better. And I can do better, and I think we all can do better. And that'll be what drives us this whole year. And we've got an opportunity. Every time you don't make the playoffs, I think it's very disappointing, but it's also an opportunity to look at how far you have to change or how far you have to go to be able to be one of those teams that's still playing in January. And until we're competing at that level, until we're playing in January and competing for championships and Super Bowls, I won't be happy with what we're doing and what we've done. And I think that hopefully our team and our staff and our organization has exactly that same philosophy and feeling right now as I do.
One of the veterans in there said that among the lessons learned is, he thought that there has to be less sensitivity from the players when they get chewed out by the coach, is how he put it. And another veteran said, we have to grow up. And do you think there was maybe some sense? I know you came from New England where there's stories of Bill chewing out Tom Brady in front of everybody in the meetings. And is that something that do you think you took them by surprise, and did their reaction surprise you any?
I don't know that, and I think they would be better judges of what the reaction was. I do think that the second year will be there'll be a different response because I think it's expected. And every week certainly wasn't the same here. I don't think you can make every week the same as a head coach because then it gets monotonous and boring, and that's not what you need when you're together as much as we're together. I think each player will have an opportunity to handle whatever that may be, coaching, criticism, critique, adversity, better in their own way. I don't think they're going to be wondering what to expect from myself or anybody else on our staff. And I think also we're going to have a better feeling for each player. I don't think you handle each player exactly the same. I mean, different players respond to different things, and you try to push the right buttons, hopefully. But I think the whole thing that they're referring to, I think what we're talking about is the accountability of our team. I'm not perfect. Nobody else is. And we just try to coach and critique ourselves and try to improve every week so that we do give our team the best chance to win. And if there's some sentiment in there that some guys maybe didn't handle it the same way, I'm not necessarily totally aware of every player's response to that. I do know that some guys appreciate it. Some guys ask for more. Some guys, want less. So I think that's probably what's going on in every locker room in the National Football League.
You spoke earlier about trying to keep some of these conflicts private within the club as opposed to public. You made a couple of them public last Friday by talking about them in advance. Do you have any regrets about doing that?
No. No, I don't.
So does that conflict at all with your desire to keep these things out of the...
No, it doesn't. Like I said, there's some things that you can't, you can't control, and then there's some other things that, like I said, that was an accountability thing, and it was something that happened. I don't regret how it happened or why it happened, and I don't regret playing the game the way we did yesterday either.
Don't you walk a really delicate line when something like that happens? Because it's very unusual for us to hear an NFL head coach question a player about his injury. You wonder what goes on in the minds of the other players in the locker room if and when they get hurt.
And the question is,
aren't you walking a very delicate line? when you question a player publicly like that. It's not done a whole lot in this league.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things, though, that went into that. It wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just that, the injury. I mean, there's a lot of things that went into it.
You said before the season, San Diego set the bar.
Yeah.
How far do you think you are away?
You know, they still do. I'd say that for sure. They've certainly they certainly understand how to play their best football late. There's no question about it. I have done it for years now, and that's our challenge. So I don't know how close we are. I just know we're not close enough, and we need to do whatever it is we need to do to get to that point next year where we can do that. I think we started fast. I think that's one of the things we wanted to do this year, but starting fast and finishing well are two totally different things, and I think you need to be playing your best football late. We kind of had it backwards this year.
Josh, you played every AFC playoff team this year except the Jets, and then also a couple of the NFC teams. Was that a good thing in the evaluation process, and kind of his question of how far you have to go? I mean, you have a direct comparison with just about every team in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think we every year you play a competitive schedule. This year certainly was no different. Played a lot of really good football teams, well coached. You know, and we, like I said, we held our own with plenty of those teams. We beat a lot of them. And I think that's good in terms of building on that. But I also think that playing those teams or playing teams late in the season is different than playing them at the beginning. When you play them at the beginning of the season, they haven't had their entire year to mold their group into what they want it to be and to be playing their best football, you know, when it matters the most at the end. We didn't do enough of that, beating good teams late. And I think that's what it really requires you to do. You have to play your best football late so that you can beat the other teams that are really on top of their game. And that's really what our failure was this year, certainly. We've played a lot of them. We know what it's like to play them and stand there and go toe-to-toe with them. But there's a difference between being competitive and being better. And we weren't better enough times late in the year against some of those teams.
Josh, what about Champ Bailey? How does he fit in everything you're doing? And he's owed a lot of money that's coming up there. How does Champ fit in?
I love Champ. He's captain. He's been a Bronco for a while and would love to have him be a Bronco as long as I'm here. You know, he's was a key component to our defense. I think he will be going forward. And we'll look forward to that.
Josh, you said that the team responded badly when they lost the first game. In the first four game losing streak, did they respond badly because they were at 6-0, maybe too comfortable, or was it that they panicked?
I don't say it's the team. I think it's everybody. It's me included. We didn't handle it. There's a lot of things that go into responding to a loss. Handling the reasons why, understanding that the criticism tastes different after a loss than it does after a victory. The next week of practice might not feel the same. And I think that all of those things combined, obviously we didn't, I mean, the results are what I'm talking about. Whether or not the week felt better, you know, before we played Pittsburgh or Washington or something else doesn't really make any difference. The result never changed. So we have to identify what we can do better in terms of handling a loss, whether it be from the coaching end of it, the playing end of it, practice that next week, meetings, you know, or just our overall mindset and mental toughness as a group, you know, because I think a lot of times that's what you're talking about. If you're mentally tough enough to respond to it the right way, then you win. And if you're not, then, you know, you might struggle for a period of time. I mean, I don't think there's a magic formula. We're not going to change our practice schedule and do all these crazy things because we lose a game. We got to do things better. We got to handle, a loss much better than we did this year.
As the season started off, you guys were a physical football team. I mean, from training camp through the first portion of the season, a physical team. As the season wore on, did you take the pads off, or what happened there? Because I think you kind of had something with the pads on,
yeah.
playing physical later on, taking some off some days?
There were definitely some times where we needed to take the pads off. I think that happens with most teams. I mean, we were in pads twice this last week, though. I mean, I think it's a situation where you try to feel the health of your football team and whether or not, you know, going out there and hitting each other, you know, 2 days a week, you know, Wednesday and Thursday is really the smartest thing to do going forward or give your team the best chance to win. So we were in pads, I think, 27 times in training camp. That'll probably be exactly the same way we do it next year. You know, we believe in doing that because I think that if you're going to practice in the running game and you're going to practice, you know, physicality, then you need to do it. You know, you can't just talk about it and then hope it happens on Sunday. And I think our guys really responded to that well. And there's times during the course of the season where you got a list of things where bumps and bruises where it's 20, 22 deep. And you're sitting there saying, I don't know if this is really smart for us to go out there and bang around these guys because we need them to be able to go on Sunday. So I think there's a little bit of an ebb and flow into it. I'd love to be able to do it all the time, you know, because I do think it helps you be a physical football team. And I think our mindset's going to be the same going into next season, and we'll be in pads as much as we can, you know, as much as we feel like it's going to be productive for us, then we'll do it because I think that's where, again, we go back to the line of scrimmage. A lot of things – you know, go into how physical you are. And we need to definitely be that kind of a team, and we need to be that kind of team late in the year, you know. And that's if we struggled, it was the second half of the season in that area. And I think that we'll evaluate that too, you know. Should we stay in pads? Should we not, you know, more or less based on what happened this year.
Sean, when we asked Champ about that today, you know, obviously he's been here through a lot of late season phase. He said he had some ideas, but he right now was too emotional to kind of voice them, but he said that over time he would. How much would you lean on players like Champ, you just mentioned, how much respect you have for him, or Brian Dawkins, or those guys, to get an idea from their perspective what's going on late season?
We communicate every week. We have a captain's meeting every Friday, and they bring to me anything that they may have, and we communicate on a regular basis about those kind of things. I have great respect for anything that you know, a veteran player, or like I said, any of those guys come and says something that's very important to them, then there's obviously some credence to it. You need to make sure you give it some thought. You know, but Champ has definitely done that. Doc does it. You know, Kyle, Daniel Graham, Mario Hagan, Woodyard, Casey Wigman, all the captains. Like I said, I met with 12 or 14 of them today, you know, about different things. So I think that's a part of coaching is just being able to communicate with those guys and hear their communication and do the things they want to do too. And a lot of times, you know, when we talk about pads, you know, it's their input too, you know, that matters to me. You know, Daniel Graham's as tough as they come. And sometimes Daniel Graham says, I think our team is really beaten up, you know. Well, then I'm going to listen to him, you know. I'm not going to sit there and ignore that and just go on. But
do you have any theories or common denominators why the Broncos for the past decade, you know, different philosophies, different coaches, it's been a trend of starting fast and not finishing well?
I think for me to speak about what's happened before is probably, again, I'm not educated necessarily. I know what happened, but I wasn't here. I don't want to pass judgment on that. I think I definitely will have an opinion about that, you know, and a much more well-thought-out opinion on all the things that go into it. I don't think it's a one-thing answer. I think there's a lot of things that probably need to be different, and then a lot of things that we can do differently to affect the outcome. I know this, you can't stay the same. If the outcome that you're getting is not the one you want, you better change something. And if you don't change it, you're going to be sorely disappointed the next season. So we've got to do some things different, and we've got to change some things, because if you stand there and just hope, hope doesn't usually – it's not a really good game plan in the National Football League.
Do you enjoy watching the playoffs?
Not when you're not in them. It's not very fun. You know, all those teams deserve to be playing. It's just, you know, it's a, you know, it's one of those things where you can sit there and watch it and not have any feelings on it, or you can, you know, you wish you were there. That's what you want to do, and that's what you're working for. And rather do something else. Get ready for next year.
Are you gonna reach out to Wes Welker, or have you?
That's an unfortunate, really an unfortunate situation for a great player who's as tough as they come to have that happen to him, because I know there's nobody that wants to play in the playoffs more than he does. And probably will reach out to him. I have a lot of respect for him and what he's done and what he can do. And it's just a freak incident, and something that you know, wish for him that it didn't happen, wish for them that it didn't happen.
Josh, I know on your to-do list initially when you came in, special teams was very high on the list. Overall, obviously Prater had a very good year.
Yep.
What did you think of the special teams thing?
I think we got faster. We got more physical. Prater kicked the ball, for the most part, exceptionally well during the course of the season. You know, Lonnie did a good job snapping our gunners, which was something we really wanted to focus on. I thought David Bruton and Josh Barrett, Kenny McKinley really did a nice job of covering a lot in terms of the punt game. You know, we try to establish that physical, fast physical discipline mentality in the kicking game in terms of our coverage units. I think we did that. I think that our return game had its moments. Certainly consistency is something that we'll be looking for in terms of going forward in our return game. And you know, our we converted most scoring opportunities. Obviously, that comes back to our protection and Prater and the holder and snapper and the whole operation. So pleased with that area. Can do better in terms of our return game. Certainly creating more field position opportunities for ourselves, and the kickoff return area in particular would be something we definitely want to address.
Coach, if there is a quarterback in the top 10 that is available in next year's draft, is that something that this
year.
Coming year? Is there something that you consider doing, drafting a quarterback as a top 10, or do you believe that you can develop the quarterback position?
I don't know that. I mean, I don't want to say that's really before we've had an opportunity to go through this season and really say that. Would I be opposed to drafting any position inside the top 10? If that's the question, the answer is no. I mean, whoever the best player is for our team at that position, if we feel like that's what we need, then we would do it, you know. Certainly quarterback is an area that we, you know, we had a guy that played pretty decent for most of the year this year, and is a good player. So, you know, we'll evaluate our team. Well, once we're done evaluating our team and our roster and we have a feeling for what's going to happen with free agency, then I think you take a look at where's your roster at by the time you roll around to April. And I feel very good with where our scouting staff is this year as opposed to last year. They were under a totally different philosophy and system in terms of the grading and what they were looking for and all that. Now we've already set up our board, you know, the first time in December, and that's something that we didn't get to last year to really doing until late February, early March. So we're months in advance of that. We've got a really good idea of what we want to look for and the kind of players we're looking for. And again, whatever the position is, wherever we draft, I think it'll be 10 or 11 as it stands right now, based on a coin flip. Then whatever that position may be, if that player is available, then we would look at taking him.
There's been a lot of attention paid to the quality of quarterbacking among the top playoff teams this year, from Drew Brees to Brett Favre, Peyton Manning. Do you think your quarterback is in that class or can be in that class?
I think that there's, I mean, the guys you just mentioned, I think are really elite players. I mean, they are. Drew Brees, Manning, Brady, Roethlisberger. You know, I know they didn't get in, but I mean, there's a lot of that. I think there's also, you know, a level below that where you say, okay, these guys all have really good quarterbacks. They can win games and are very functional and do the things that their teams need them to do to win games and win championships. I mean, if you look at a lot of the Super Bowl winners in this last decade, I wouldn't say that you'd say every one of them was elite when they won the Super Bowl. So I think our quarterback has done a nice job of doing a lot of things for us that we ask him to do. He can get better and improve. I'm sure that in a second year in a system that he'll be a better player. I think that goes for a lot of our skilled players, a lot of our offensive players. Same thing would be true for defense. So, you know, Kyle Orton knows where he stands. And I, like I said, I feel good about what he's done. He's helped us win a lot of games. And hopefully we can get better and move forward and win more.
Why haven't you negotiated these contracts with the young players? Is it because...
When you say the young players, you mean
the restricted free agents?
Yeah. There's some things that are uncertain right now. And I think that that's part of the process. They know that, and I think, you know, everybody does. We're all kind of going through this at the same time.
And so is it your stance that you don't negotiate with guys that are, just say that there was a guy that was out of contract coming up this year, you know he's a restricted free agent, you just want to see what you're forced to do, or do you want to reward them for having a great season?
Well, I don't think we're one way or the other. I think we're kind of trying to make sure we do what we can do, first of all. I mean, we're not really exactly sure of the landscape here, you know, I mean, with the CBA and everything else. So I think most organizations, I would assume, are going to wait and see exactly how this goes, what happens, and then make their decisions based on, you know, what the information they have at that point. We're not opposed to doing either.
You talked about the draft, and as far as building a franchise, when you look at your defense, obviously a lot of it was made of the veterans on that group, and that was a good thing for most of the season. But is there a fine line there of needing to kind of infuse youth on that side of the ball, to, you know, as you build the franchise?
I think you always want to have a blend, you know, of veterans who are very good players, know what it takes to win in the league and do their jobs very well, and then younger players. I think we might have more of that than people think. You know, I know we have some veteran safeties that started for us this year, but we also drafted two young ones, and we have Josh Barrett, who's another young one behind him. You know, we have two young corners behind Champ and Goody. You know, and most of our front seven is all in their 20s. You know, Ayers and Dumerville and Mario Hagan, you know, those guys are all fairly young players. So Fields, McBean. So I think you're talking about something that you want to continually do. I think that's a good answer, is that you don't want to sit there and just stay put and, you know, continue to get, you know, older and not put in some other players in there to compete and learn. I think that's one of the things we really tried to do this season was take some players we felt fit our mold, put them in there behind those players that are really solid veteran players, and then go ahead and let them learn from the player themselves. So hopefully those guys have done a good job of taking advantage of the opportunity that they have.
And you were asked about Alfonso before, and you were also asked about Sean Sauer, and you just said Ayers. It's been kind of an enigma to a lot of people. Can you talk about his season, what you got from Ayers, and what you expect from him?
Yeah, I mean, I met with Robert today again, too, and, you know, he wants to do he wants to have, obviously, more impact and do more. And I think anytime you bring in a rookie, you know, and you put him in there and you let him compete, but there's other good players competing with him, and that's a good thing. You know, it's not a bad thing that we have Mario Hagan and Dumerville sitting there competing at the same spot that he's competing with. Same with Daryl Reed and Jarvis Moss. It was a heck of a competition in training camp all the way throughout the spring, and I don't think anybody would regret how the season went with those players. Robert played, you know, basically every snap in our nickel packages and played a lot of football for us, did a lot of things that we asked him to do, certainly wants to be more productive. We want him to be as productive as he can possibly be, but he's got to take the competition to them. I mean, you can't just hand the guy the job because he walks in the door, and he's got to earn it, and he's got to do the most with his opportunities and take advantage of those, and he knows that. He's no longer a rookie, so we'll look for bigger things from him next year.
Did he physically show you what you thought?
Yes.
He was getting at?
Yes. Physically, he's capable of doing the things we want him to do. As physical of a player as we thought we were getting, and you know, knows how to use that. We'll learn how to use it even better going forward. But you know, he's he knows that this year didn't necessarily go exactly how he wanted it to from a production standpoint, but he did do some things for us that were very productive that maybe don't get heralded as much as some of the other things.